is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
The Old Testament lesson for today is from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 12, and then later verses 17 through 18. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." But the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir." He brought him outside and said, "Look towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." He brought all of these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates."
You will notice there, I'm sure, that Sister Katie was saying Abram, not Abraham. Remember Abraham?
Come on, God, I'm trying to work here.
Abram doesn't become Abraham until a couple of chapters later in the text. So thank you, Katie, for getting that correct. I will try and get correct our New Testament lesson, which is coming to us from the Gospel of Luke. But before I do, are we familiar with the Nicene Creed? You know, the Nicene Creed? It was that creed that we read? Okay. The Nicene Creed is actually the most ecumenical of all of the creeds of Christendom. In America, we think of the Apostles' Creed as being the creed everybody knows and says, but around the world, it is really the Nicene Creed. It is especially popular in the Orthodox part of the world. Both the Ukrainian Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox will read this Nicene Creed. It was written in 325 at the Council of Nicaea. That's why it's called the Nicene Creed. Nicaea is a little town near Constantinople. It was revised in 381 at the Council of Constantinople and exists today basically as it was written in 381. There is one significant difference between what the Orthodox read and what we read. And if you really want to get excited about the filioque clause, ask me. It's fascinating, and I will be happy to talk to you for about an hour and a half sometime, okay? I think it's very interesting, the filioque clause. Be sure and ask on that. But reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Jesus is preaching, he is teaching, he is moving south towards Jerusalem. He has just talked about what the kingdom of heaven is like and has given a number of illustrations. At that very hour, we read, some Pharisees came and said to him, that is, they said to Jesus, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. He said to them, go and tell that fox for me, listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Get that? 3 days? 3 days? Got that? On the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand and join in song as we praise God. Were you awake? We saw you dozing off back there. Time. If you're the right age or you have really good taste in music, you will recognize a line from the Bangles, Hazy Shade of Winter, right? Okay, all right, never mind. So, tell me, if I turn this on, it'll work. Here we go. Tell me what you see. Yeah. You see a line with a definite beginning and a definite end. That's what those two slanty lines are for. That's to show where it ends, where it begins. It's just a straight line. It's not too long. It's not too short. Maybe on the thin side a little bit. But, yeah, nothing very exciting. It's a straight line. When I was a young soldier, many, many years ago, this is how I was taught to think about time. That time is finite. Time has a beginning. Time has an end. You only have so much of it, and by golly, you had better use it well. And if you don't get everything done in the time that is allotted to you, then fella, you are in trouble. Time. I found that to still be the case a few years later when I was working for the freight company. Trucks had to arrive on time. They had to be unloaded and reloaded on time. Packages had to be delivered on time. Time was crucial. Time was limited. You had to use it well. Does that resonate with you? Is that your experience of time? You know, you have to get to work on time. You have to finish the work on time. Reports need to be written and submitted in time, and there are no time for exceptions. Time is finite, and you better use it well. This is very much Abram's. I'm going to say Abraham because that's what I'm used to saying. This is very much Abraham's attitude towards time as well. Time is limited. And Abraham has a lot to do. He is a man in a hurry. God, where is my heir? God, somebody is going to inherit all my stuff. Who is it going to be? I'm old. My wife is old. We have no children. One of these days, a slave born in my camp is going to take my place. God, get busy. And God says, hey, it's okay. Relax. I've got this. God says, you don't worry about that. You focus on me and what I've done. I brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, didn't I? I watched over you when you were in Egypt, didn't I? I'll take care of this. Don't worry about it. I've got it. God makes a covenant with Abraham. That's what all those animals and the flaming pot are about. God makes a covenant with Abraham, a binding promise. And this is good. It's very important. It certainly eases Abram's mind. But God's, it's okay. God has plenty of time. It seems to me that God's attitude towards time is much closer to what my attitude towards time was when I was a teenager. Maybe it was that way for you also. When I was a teenager, there was lots of time. Time was fluid. Time went backwards and forward. There was no beginning. There was no end. I've got lots of time to go out with my friends and get all my chores done and finish my homework and study for the test tomorrow. Don't worry. And I've probably got time to lay in bed another 15, 30 minutes. Was that maybe your attitude towards time when you were a teenager? I think God has a teenager's attitude towards time. That God is the Lord of time. That God moves back and forth in time. And with God, there's always time for what God thinks is important, for what God wants to do. We see the same thing going on, I think, in our New Testament lesson, in the lesson from the Gospel of Luke. In this story, Jesus is up in the Galilee. He's up in the north part of the country, the northeast part of the country, the area surrounding the Sea of Galilee. And he is making his way south to Jerusalem. And along the way, he's doing what Jesus does. He's teaching and preaching and feeding and healing and collecting quite a crowd as he goes along. Now, this is going to be very upsetting, very dangerous to Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, he's the ruler of that part of the country, the ruler of the Galilee area. He's the son of Herod the Great. Remember, we meet Herod the Great in Matthew's Gospel when Herod tries to have Jesus killed when he's still just an infant. So Herod Antipas is ruling in the Galilee, and it's not an exaggeration to say that everybody hates Herod. Okay? Herod is wisely despised. His tax burden on the peasants was crippling. He's just a horrible person. And so it's natural then that a man like Herod is going to be very anxious about somebody like Jesus being there. And so some Pharisees come and warn Jesus about this, which is interesting because we usually think of the Pharisees as being the enemies of Jesus, don't we? It's the Pharisees who are constantly questioning Jesus. But at least in Luke's gospel, there are a handful of Pharisees who have enough admiration and respect for Jesus that they come and warn him about Herod. And then Jesus sets up this very nice little dichotomy, this nice illustration, that Herod is a fox. And what do foxes do? Foxes are wily and devious, and they prey on small creatures who cannot defend themselves, like baby chicks. And what is Jesus? Jesus is like a mother hen. And what does a mother hen do when the brood is scared? And if you've ever, those of you who grew up on a farm, you know this. When the brood is in danger, the mother hen spreads her wings and brings them in close and protects the brood. Herod is the fox who is out to devour the brood. Jesus is the mother hen who is trying to bring the brood under her wings and to protect them. The problem is the timing just doesn't work. It doesn't. Look again at what the text says. Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Wait a minute. And you were not willing? It sounds like Jesus has been there before, doesn't it? But again, this is Luke. In Luke's gospel, Jesus only ever goes to Jerusalem the one time. He's not there yet. He's on his way. And when he arrives on Palm Sunday, remember the Palm Sunday parade, the people are going to be chanting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." "But you won't see me until then," he says. So how does this work? Once again, Jesus is the Lord of time. Jesus is the Lord of time. The point is that Jesus is constantly reaching out to us. That Jesus is constantly reaching out to us in the past, in the present, and in the future. And what that means is there is time for us. There is time for us to come in close, to be under the hen's wings, to walk closely next to Jesus. There's time for us to change, to be the people God wants us to be. You see, friends, we don't have to be stuck. The good news of God is we are free to change. Our church can change. We can be a different kind of church. We don't have to be the way we've always been. We don't have to. I mean, nobody's holding a gun to our head. We don't have to. But if we want to, the option is there. You and I, as individuals, there is time. We can change. We don't have to be stuck. We don't have to be the way we always were. We're free to get closer to Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to be the people God wants us to be, to avoid all the foxes, the forces of evil that are out there trying to bring us down. And you know those foxes. You've seen them. The foxes of anger, the foxes of addiction, the foxes of deceit, the foxes of greed and busyness, the foxes of peer pressure and social pressure and FOMO. You know that expression? Fear of missing out. That fox. The fox of righteous indignation and the fox of always having to have my way. We don't have to be prey to them. Jesus is reaching out to us to gather us under Jesus' wings. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. And during this holy season of Lent, we are making the journey with Him. And in a few Sundays, we will be there with the crowd, chanting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But before then, let's avoid the foxes. Let's draw closer to Jesus. Jesus is reaching out constantly with His wings to draw us in close. Let us be drawn and be the people God wants us to be. God's approach to time is much more that of a teenager than it is of Abraham. You and I may live on Abraham time, but God lives on a very different time, and in God's time, there is still time for us to change, to grow closer to Jesus, to be and the people God wants us to be, to experience the life God wants us to live. And that's because God is constantly reaching out to us. Because, friends, this is how much God loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Finalac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.